राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रं नानुवर्तयति हया अखायु इन्द्रियारामो मोखं पार्थ सजीवति दैट इज द वर्ड्स वी वर 16. एवं प्रवर्तितं चक्रं नानुवर्तयति हया अघायु इन्द्रियारामो मोखं पार्थस जीवति. सो वी स्पोक अबाउट दैट यस्टरडे एंड आल्सो मेंशन अबाउट द श्रीमद्भागवतम हाउ पीपल फ्रॉम डिफरेंट सिचुएशंस like Kundi Devi, Bhishma Pitamaha, and Parikshit, Prahlada, and Ambarish Maharaj, and also the gopis, and similarly Yajnavatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, Yajnika Brahmanas, and Kundi Devi, like that, different people from different situations, they all have come to the platform of spiritual realizations. In spite of the fact that they all also had to go through their life in this world. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi has presented so many different personalities in front of us. And in the Bhagavatam, what you will see there is that even Parikshit Maharaj also has, in 7 days' time, he was also given the process of self-realization by Sudeva Goswami. And main qualification Parikshit had was that mukshatvam. Mukshatvam means the intense desire for liberation from this material existence. So before the he was bitten by Takshaka, Parikshit Maharaj was told by Sudeva Goswami, aham brahma param dhama, brahma aham paramam padam, evam samikshanyathaya atmanam nishkalam. Atmanyathaya nishkalam. That after talking for about 6 days and so many hours, eventually at the last minute, that's what you find in the 12th canto, in the 5th chapter, what is called Brahmavadesham. Brahmavadesham means that Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, this is your true identity. Your proper identity is this, that is spiritual, that is the soul. And aham brahma param dhama, brahma aham paramam padam, that I am brahmam, I am that soul. And that realization, Sudeva Goswami handed it over to Parikshit. And Dashandam, that even if the Takshagam, that even Takshagam, Takshaga bites you, that Takshaga, the poison and the world and the Lelihanam Mishanali, and it says there that all these things, everything will be known to you as the soul, nothing different from the soul. So, Padagalpana, so Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit to be situated on that platform. And Parikshit didn't even know that Takshaka has arrived. And he did not know about his own body, nor even about the world. By now, everything has become for him Swarupam, or the soul. Spiritual nature has come to his understanding. In other words, it doesn't take a long time to come to that platform of spiritual realization. That is the point Bhagavatam is making to us. Because already the truth is known to us. It is inside us. Then already we are experiencing that. And somehow or the other, the mind has to move away from the material existence and move into the platform of the soul. And to you can see here all the sacrifices, everything. Krishna eventually bring it down to karmam. From karmam, charabrahmam. Charabrahmam to acharabrahmam. And the stillness, purnata, completeness, he brought it there. Tasmad, Krishna says, therefore, as he has that this tasmad, as I mentioned before, one of the words you will see constantly repeat, quite often repeated in the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, from those two verses, annad bhavanti bhudani parjanyad anna sambhava yatnyal bhavati parjanyo yatnya karma samudbhava. Then karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmad sarvagadam brahma nityam yatnya pradishtidam. So those two verses, Krishna spoke about the way the cycle of the yajnik cycle functions, cycle works. That's what those two verses are talking about. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmal sarvagadam brahma nityam yajne pradishtidam. Everything is based on the sacrifice or the yajnam. And after saying that, Krishna mentioned about those who do not follow that chakram. Evam pravartidam chakram. And Krishna says, if you want to free yourself from the samsara chakram. Samsara chakram is what? The material existence, isn't it? Continuously, repeatedly changing the body. That is the cycle of birth and death. That is samsara chakram. Krishna says, if you want to escape from that samsara chakram, you should enter into this yajna chakram. So, samsara chakram is what we constantly experiencing in this world. That you have to leave this body, accept another body, then live in that body for some time, leave that body, come to another body, in this way. Keep on changing this material body. That is samsara chakram. And the yajna chakram is that chakram in which we are an integral part of Krishna's creation and executing the orders under as per Krishna's instructions. Only then one can free oneself from the cycle of birth and death. What is a yajna chakram? That means being situated on the spiritual platform. In our spiritual identity, if we execute karmam, that is yajna chakram. That is yajna chakram. If one has any doubts about this, there's nothing we can do about it. That means if one questions these things, then there is no more further progress possible in spiritual life. Because Krishna's instructions are such that everything, when it comes from the Supreme Lord, from Krishna, it has to be accepted without any discussions. It has no point in discussing about it, in the sense that Krishna is explaining to us, this is how the system works. This is how the creation is going on. Creation, how everyone has their own responsibility. And he says that yajna chakram is important. Evam pravartidam, after explaining about the process of how the sacrifice maintains this creation, how all other ലിവിങ് എൻറ്റിറ്റീസ് ആർ എ പാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ദേ എക്സിക്യൂട്ട് ദി കർമ്മ യജ്ഞചക്രം യജ്ഞം ആൻഡ് ബൈ വിച്ച് ദി ക്രിയേഷൻ ഈസ് മെയിൻറ്റെയിൻഡ് സോ ഏവം പ്രവർത്തിതം ചക്രം നാനുവർത്തയതീഹയ വൺ ഹു ഡസ് നോട്ട് എൻറ്റർ ഇൻ ടു ദിസ് ചക്രം ആൻഡ് ബിക്കം എ പാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി വിൽ ഹാവ് ഗ്രേറ്റ് ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ടീസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ സോ being situated in one's own swarupam or one's own spiritual identity and executing karma, that is called yajnam. That is called yajnam. Whatever that comes from the heart, that means with full heart, if one executes that, that becomes a that will not bind us. That will not bind us. In other words, all activities where there is no involvement of the false ego, involvement of the false ego, all such activities will become yajnam, will become yajnam, because that activity is coming from the swarupam, from coming from the soul. It is not coming from the mind, it's not coming from the false ego, it's not coming from the intelligence. This is the important thing, that lot of our activities in this world is coming from our mind, or is coming from our false ego, or is coming from our intelligence. But those activities which are executed from the heart, that means it is executed as a part of yajnam, without any false ego, without any desire for selfish desires, such activities, Krishna says that they come from the heart. And anything that come from the intelligence, mind, and from false ego, that will bind us. Whereas the one that comes from the heart, that has no bondage. It does not create any bondage. So, in summary, in a nutshell, Krishna is saying to us that be situated in the soul. Being situated in the heart means be situated in the soul and not be situated in the mind and the intelligence. So, always, intelligence will always tell us, what will I get from this, isn't it? That's the nature of the intelligence. Intelligence will always talk to us in that way. What do I get by doing this? And it will always keep looking at that. Mind says, always frightens us. Oh, whether I do this, what will happen? Will I get what I want? What my intelligence is telling me, will I get it or not? So these are the different influences from the various sections in the body. The intelligence is constantly telling us that what do you get from doing this? And the mind will keep telling us that will you get it or not? So this fear it creates. I struggled very hard and worked. Will anybody else will take the result from this? What will the heart say? Heart means there is no connections anywhere. It has no opportunity to say anything. Let everybody have the benefit of this. Sarve na sukhina sandhu. Sarve sandhu niramaya. Sarve badrani pashyandu. Ma kaschil dukhama bhaved. That sarvena sukhina sandhu, let everyone become benefited by this. Ma kaschil, sarve sandhu niramaya, that all stay in that peaceful situation. Sarve badrani pashyandu, all auspiciousness to everyone. Ma kaschil dukha bhaved, that I get freed from that distress in that way. Only the heart can speak in that way. The mind intelligence cannot speak that language. So you can see that our activities, when it is tinged with selfishness, when it has desire for expectation of results, when it is executed with false ego, that action binds us. When it comes from the heart, without any motivation, purely, simply for the benefit of the world, if one executes the action, then that is frees him from the material existence. So mind and intelligence will always talk about for oneself, and heart will talk about for others. Heart will talk about for others. So once a sannyasi, an old sannyasi, I think I mentioned this before, was living in a forest, and he had a very young disciple also. So this young disciple used to go to the villages and beg for food. And he used to bring the food home one day he asked this old sannyasi, his spiritual master, why does people mutually quarrel each other? Why do they quarrel each other? So this person, this young brahmachari or this disciple, hasn't experienced fighting before. But when he saw this, he asked his spiritual master about this. So the spiritual master told him that I will tell you why they do it. He said, he called his disciple and told him, the disciple had a begging bowl with him. And the spiritual master took that bowl from him and told him, this is mine, he said. So the disciple says to him, Swami, what is the problem? If that's yours, you can have it, he said. So at that time, the spiritual master tell him, I can't teach you about quarreling, he said, because unless one says it belongs to me, then you can keep on fighting in this world, isn't it? That's belonging to me, it's mine. It's from there all the fighting has started. So the villagers, they knew about this, so they keep fighting. You can imagine so many problems in this world, like disputes over territory, isn't it, about land, like the issue with Palestine, issue with Kashmir, and so many things. It goes on and on and on, never comes to any end. Ultimately, even Krishna gets tired of us seeing our persistence in these things. And what he does is, eventually he thinks, nothing I can do about it except to blow up the whole thing. So you can see that for all this dvesham that is created, what is the fundamental cause? Because it's coming from, as soon as people say it's mine, then it becomes a cause of confrontation and problem, isn't it? When you start saying everything leaves to others, then it becomes yam. What is that giving up? Giving up means with heart, not tolerating it, but one who does not take any possessive attitude in this world, possessions or possessive nature, that is yajnam. Not belonging to him belongs to Krishna. With that understanding, when one acts in this world, Krishna says that is yajnam. And if we enter into that yajna chakram, then his life is complete. One who lives for the benefit of for the rest of the world, and his life is always complete, Krishna says. Otherwise, to them who don't live a life like that, Krishna gave the title Akhayu. Akhayuhu. His Ayuhu. Ayuhu means his lifespan, he says here, or his breathing is all constantly is full of germs of the sin. Germs of the sin. Indriya Rama. Why does he live like that? That is his happiness. He is trying to find happiness there only for the sake of his senses. Indriya Ramam. Mokham Parthasa Jivati. For the sake of sense gratification, why does he exploit others? And Mokham Parthasa Jivati. Because his life alone is a waste of time. On the other hand, one who lives within the heart is always situated in peaceful existence. And he does not experience happiness by getting something from this world. He is always situated within the self, and he does not need anything from the rest of the world. So Krishna compared those two kinds of people, one who is situated within the self and executing their life in this world, and those others who are in the Bhagahu Indriya Rama, those who are engaged in sense gratification and simply exploit the world for their sense enjoyment. After saying that, Krishna says, wanted to talk about those who live in the self, those who live in the self and how they live their life in this world. Next verse, 17. Yastval maradire vasyal Atmatraptascha manavam Atmanyevaja santushtam Tasya karyam na vidyate Translation. One who is, however, taking pleasure in the self, who is illumined in the self, who rejoices in and is satisfied with the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. So, this is an important verse. Istvalparadirevasya atmatratvascha manava atmanyi evaja santushta tasya karyam na vidyade. Krishna says there that istvalparadirevasya, what does it mean? Atmaradi means he is situated within the self and he is enjoying. Radhi means uninterrupted happiness coming from the soul. So, istvalparadirevasya. Generally, when two things join together, from there radhi happens. And that happiness, or two people join together, from there an anandam or happiness comes. And that is called radhi. Here, that is how normally radhi is spoken, isn't it? Radhi is like that. The word radhi is used when two people come into contact with each other, from there a happiness comes to both. And that is called radhi. Here, one experiences radhi within oneself. And that is why Krishna says, Atmaradhi Revasyal. Yes, so Atmaradhi Revasyal. In order that for us to be satisfied, what do we need? We need to get everything what we want. But here, the difference is, he has already got everything. All desires are satisfied. That is why Krishna says, Atmatraptascha Manava. Yes, so Atmaradhi Revasyal. Atmatraptascha Manava. The thing what he was looking for was the soul. He has got that soul, so he is satisfied then. Therefore, he doesn't need anything else. Therefore, full satisfaction inside. Complete fulfillment. That's what Krishna says here. That normally, human society has many desires and he keeps on trying to fulfill those desires to become happy. But here, yastu alparidirevasya, because he is situated within the self, almatraptascha manava, he is completely satisfied with the being situated in the spiritual platform. There is nothing to hear, nothing to see, nothing to taste, and no other sense enjoyment or activities for the senses, and no desires inside. Atmanyevaja sandushtaha atmaradihi. Atmanyevaja santushta. Yastu atmaradirevasya atmadraptascha manava. Atmanyevaja santushta tasya karyam na vidyade. Because atmanyevaja santushta is because the happiness is coming from the soul itself. So because it is like that, tasya karyam na vidyade. He has no other duty or responsibility in this world. Upanishad statements is atmaradihi, atma kredaha, atma mithanaha, atma anandaha, atma purastad, atma paschad, atma dakshinaha, atma uttaraha, tasvarad bhavadi, sa sarveshu logeshu kamacharo bhavadi. This is from the Upanishads. The same thing Upanishads talks in that way. That happiness what the realized soul is experiencing, that they are trying to talk about that. Just like the sense enjoyment is considered like the frog in the well. And the Brahmanandam, the happiness from the soul, is spoken as though the ocean. For example, we know this story about the two frogs meeting each other. The frog from the well and the frog from the ocean. So the frog from the well is asking the frog from the ocean, how big is the ocean? So the frog from the ocean says, it's very, very big. So, but the frog from the well is thinking in terms of its own surroundings and saying to the frog from the ocean that, is it bigger than this well, what I'm living now here? So the ocean frog says that it is a lot bigger than that. Then the frog's asking, is it bigger than the lake? Like this he keeps asking. Why? Because he hasn't experienced that happiness which comes from the soul. So this thing, dimensions in which Brahmanandam or the experience from the soul cannot be explained to anyone. That cannot be explained to anyone. So when we talk about this, when we talk about this spiritual realization, although it is spoken in the Shastram, how it is received by the listeners is another important thing. Sometimes people, they accept it straight away without any resistance, and that they take accept it without any resistance from inside. But many people, as we get older, it gets more difficult to accept this understanding of self-realization. Once an example is given, somebody was talking about that in a satsangam. He was talking about the experience of the soul from self-realized state. Then he was talked about the realization, this particular verse, Estu Atmaredi Revasya Atmatraptascha Manava. This important verse from the Bhagavad Gita he was discussing. And Atmanyevaja Sandushta Tase Karyamna Vidyade. So there was a boy who was 7 or 8 years old. He was listening to this and he experienced that at the moment when he heard that. The tears started coming from him and for some time he could not listen anymore, experiencing that bliss of the soul. So therefore it's very difficult to say that when one experiences that, he realizes, and irrespective of whether he is young, old, or man, woman, or any, no other differentiation, anyone can experience that, the experience of the soul, but it depends. In other words, what it was trying to say was that it is not through the intelligence that you experience this. It is from heart to the heart. So, and it is possible that sometimes young boys or young persons could be more matured spiritually, that when they receive this message, they can immediately accept it. That is this verse, Almanyevaja Sandushta Tasya Karyamna Vidyade. Yes, to Almaradirevasya Atmatraptascha Manava Almanyevaja Sandushta Tasya Karyamna Vidyade. Krishna is saying here that one who is engaged in Almarati, one who is situated in the platform of the soul, and this will only happen when one moves away from the platform of mind and intelligence. We are got so used to seeing things through mind and intelligence. That is the problem what we have got. And because it is like that, when we talk about the soul and the platform of the soul, we do not experience it. So Krishna says there that when we come out of the mind, when we come out of the intelligence, then immediately you will understand what it means. What it means. So there was a great personality just before India's independence, Swami Ramatirtha. He was very well known. And I think he came from Lahore, which is in Pakistan now. So this Ramatirtha, he traveled all over the world. He was a realized soul. And he goes to America, and there he lived on a river bank called Sacramento River. And he lived there for quite some time. And many, many, many hours he used to sit there, engage in meditation. And he wrote a book also later on, In the Woods of Self-Realization, God Realization. That book is titled like that. So, while he lived there, birds used to come and talk to him, and he used to have conversation with the birds. So, many people who came across that way, they saw him not engaged in activity. Generally, everywhere people are so busy, isn't it, with the life. But Swamiji was so free from everything. And he used to engage with people in all sorts of activities, but never attracted by any results from that. And everything was provided for him by Krishna's arrangement. So, and once one person approached him and asked him, how come you are so lazy, not doing anything? Why don't you engage in doing good to somebody else? So his answer to that was, is it not the business of doing good already overcrowded? There were so many people who are already doing good to others. People are queuing up there, he says. Why don't you leave me alone? So this is the nature of Estu Atmaredi Revasya. One who is absorbed in the soul, for him, there is no question of doing good to others, doing bad to others. This is a state that comes even after that stage of Yajnam. After the stage of Yajnam. Yajnam stage is in between. From the selfish state, one moves on to the state of Yajnam, where one engages conducts his activities without any selfish motive. And that state is called Yajnam. And from the Yajnam state, he comes to the state of Atmaredhi. Yes, to Atmaredhi Revasya, Atmatraptascha Manava. Atmanyevaja Sandushta, Tasya Gairyam Na Vidyade. Once he has come to that state, Krishna says there that he has no more any responsibility after that. So, this person, some people are caught up in this, isn't it? Doing good to others, doing good to others. But the question is this, that this person who came to Swami Ramatakrita and asked him, that why don't you do something which is beneficial to others? Why don't you show some pity to others? He says, Ramatakrita says, show pity to yourself first, he said. So, because for so many lifetimes, Andaralma, the soul inside is thirsty for self-realization. The soul inside is desiring to free itself from this conditioned state. In other words, the desire is there in everyone. But why? Because we have identified with the body for such a long time. Not only with the body, other designations as well. I am man, I am woman, and I am a rich man, I am a scholar, I am a poor person, I am ignorant. Like this, all sorts of false identities have acquired inside. And this is Almana Almaha Samvinihandi Asalgrahad. Because of that, the soul is experiencing, or consciousness is experiencing, some distress. And it is not that, it is not killing the body. Actually, it is called Almahatya, isn't it? Suicide is called as Almahatya. Almahatya, why? Because real suicide is when we don't go back to our spiritual identity and constantly holding on to the bodily identity, that is called a suicide. Generally we say suicide means, in this world normally we say suicide means we give up this material body, isn't it? That's why how we refer to suicide. But actual suicide, Krishna is saying that when you leave your spiritual identity as the soul and takes up the identity of the body, that is suicide. That's why it's called Almahatya. You have killed the soul and gone into the bodily identity. So, there are so many stories centered around Ramatirtha. Ramatirtha used to say that when President Roosevelt came to see him, he says to him that even the freedom what these birds have got, Roosevelt doesn't have. That's what he was saying to him. That they come very, they have so much freedom. Why? Because they haven't got any selfish interest anymore. That there is two things in front of us. One is the strength and the other one is the peace. One is the Shakti, other one is the Shanti. If we go after power, what the Shakti is the power. If we go after power, we will lose the peace. We lose the peace. And if we go after the peace, then whatever that is necessary, that will be provided by the power. The power will provide that. Everyone, majority of the people in the world choose the power, not the peace. The path of power is called prayers. And the path of the peace is called Shreyas. If you look into, this has been spoken by Yama to Nachiketas in the Kathopanishad. If you look there, you will find this statement from Yama. Yama says to him, that to Nachiketas, that Shreya Adhadhanasya. Shreya Adhadhanasya. So he says, Tayo Shreya Adadhanasya Sadhu Bhavadi Hyede Arthar Uprayo Vrinide Anya Shreyonya Dudaiva Preya Ste Ume Ubhe Nanartha Purusha Sinita Tayo Shreya Adadhanasya Sadhu ഭവതി ഹിയദേത് അർത്ഥാത് സ അർത്ഥാത് ഉപ്രേയോ വൃണീതേ. ദിസ് ഈസ് ആഫ്റ്റർ യമധർമ്മരാജ ഹാസ് ടെസ്റ്റഡ് ഹിസ് ഡിസൈപ്പിൾ നചികേതസ്. ആഫ്റ്റർ ടെസ്റ്റിംഗ് ഹിം ഹി ഫൗണ്ട് ഹിം ദറ്റ് ഹി ഈസ് ഫിറ്റ് ഫോർ റിസീവിംഗ് ദി നോളജ്. ഇൻ കഠോപനിഷത്ത് ദറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ദി കോൺവെർസേഷൻ ഹാപ്പൻസ് ബിറ്റ്വീൻ നചികേതസ് ആൻഡ് യമ. After he was tested whether he is qualified to be a disciple, Yamadharmaraja says to him that anyashrayo anyudeva anyashrayo anyudeva prayaha ste ubhe nanarthe purusha sinita. See, he says that one is preferred and the other one gives pleasure. One is a path of peace, other one is a path of power. These two serves two divergent purposes. Tayo shreya adadanasya sadhu. So sadhu, he takes the path of shreyas. Adadanasya sadhu. Bhavadi hiyade arthad uprayo vrinide. One who takes the path of power, which gives him some pleasure, he falls from the true end. Prayo vrinide. So tato shreya adadanasya sadhu. Bhavadi hiyade arthad uprayo vrinite. He, that one who follows the path of that prayas, he falls down. That is what it says there in the Kathopanishad. Shandi or peace come from the soul, from the self. And one who has taken the shelter of that peace, they are called jnanis. Our swarad bhavadi, they become fully independent. So by taking the freedom does not come from the from power. Freedom does not come from power, actually. This is a misunderstanding. We constantly keep saying that because the country is so powerful, they have the freedom. That is not true. Freedom comes from the from those who have taken to this process of peace. So continuously, one who is established in the soul, he is called a jnani, and he is the king of the whole, or is an emperor. who is a emperor. When Roosevelt came to see Ramatirtha, and Ramatirtha used to call himself Emperor Rama, he used to call like that. So somebody suggested to him, what will Roosevelt think when you keep telling him that you are Emperor Rama? So he says, Swarad bhavadi sarveshu logeshu kamacharo bhavadi. That one who is completely free from the body, one who is completely self-realized, he is not under the control of anybody, because he is totally in the state of the self-realized state. So he is not under the control of anybody. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find this verse, isn't it? When the Navayogis came to see King Nimi, you find there that verse, Avyahadeshtakadaya surasiddhasadhya gandharva yaksha naraginnara nagalogan. That the freedom with which they have travelled, King Nimi, those who came to instruct King Nimi, that Avyahareshta Gadaya, Bhagavadam says, Sudeva Goswami talks about them like that, that they had such an amount of freedom that they could go anywhere because of the self-realized state. They were not bound by anything. Surasiddha Sadhya Gandharva Yaksha Nara Kinnara Nagalogan, the places where they could travel to, all these different planets, they were free to travel. And so Kamachari, yogis can travel, they also can travel, but they have nothing. The difference between a jnani and a yogi, yogi still can have desires, but jnanis have come completely free from the desires as well. They have nothing to gain, they have nothing to lose. And that state is what Krishna is talking about in this verse. Yes to Atmaridirevasya Atmatruptascha Manava Atmanyevaya Sandushta Tasya Karyam na Vidyade. Tasya Karyam na Vidyade means he has nothing to achieve anymore in this life. He has nothing to do anything in this world. Tasya Karyam na Vidyade. In this world, we all have different karma to perform, isn't it? And those, the jnani who is already self-realized, his karma had already left him. That's the difference. His karma has already left him. We have karma to execute in this world. For a self-realized soul, karma has already left him. even if he wants to do karmam, he will not be able to do karmam. He will not be able to do karmam. That state is called sannyasam. That state is called sannyasam. Once a highly realized soul, he was trying to execute shraddham. Shraddha ceremony he was performing. So at that time, he took water in his hand, but the water won't stay in the hand. Struggled very hard, and the mantras which he's supposed to chant during the Shraddha ceremony, they were not coming out either. At that time, Sri Parvati, whom he worshipped, mentions to him from inside that these things have already left you. So even if you want to do it, he cannot do it. Karmam has already left him. They did not leave karmam, but karmam has left them. How did that leave? Because he is not conscious of the body anymore. We have karma vasana inside, that is why we are able to execute karmam. But what karmam has left us, the karma vasana has gone away from inside, then if you want to execute karmam, you cannot do any karmam anymore. Karmam means, along with that, four things comes, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. I am the ragam and dvesham. Attachment and aversion also comes with karmam. This is normally, with normal people. But realized souls, for them there is no karmam, because even though they may appear they are engaged in activities, it's not binding them. They don't have kartatvam, bhoktratvam, ragadvesham in their activities. Not conscious of the body at all. There is no bodily concept, bodily identity. So this sannyasi, this jnani who are trying to do his shraddha ceremony, he was finding it difficult. He's saying, his realized state, he's saying, first of all, for whom I am performing this shraddham? For my father. But I have to think that I got a father first. All this father, mother, brother, sister, all this identity is based on the body, isn't it? But once you have come out of that and come to the platform of spiritual realized state, then it is difficult to perceive again that I had a father. That's very difficult. So it is difficult to execute shraddham. When you are offering the water, standing in Ganga River, to the forefathers, we have to say, chant this mantra three generations before. Father, grandfather, great-grandfather. So to three generations you are offering these oblations with the water. So when you have to offer that, you have to remember them. But once you come to the state of self-realization, who is father then? Father is gone, grandfather gone, great-grandfather gone. All this cycle, you are freed completely from the cycle of this bodily identity. In other words, so that's why it is said here that first of all, I have to think I have a father. Then I have to think that I had a father had another father. Then I have to think he had another father. That means father, grandfather and great-grandfather. I had all that. Then, not only that, I have to think that I was a son. That also he has to think, isn't it? So, they are not in that state. They are not in that state. And that state is Krishna what is referring here. Yes, Atma Ridirevasya, Atma Truptascha Manava, Atma Nivaja Sandushta, Tasya Karyam Navidyade. Often, you will see this question coming up in people's mind. Should I perform Shraddha ceremony or not? That question is always there. Many people ask all the time. I'm not doing anything Shraddha ceremony. I'm not performing anymore. So there is, and the society says that, oh, there is so many ceremonies to be performed and all that, isn't it? So the answer to that is that point Krishna is saying here is that all these things are there Till you are realized the truth. Atmarati. Yes, Atmarati Revasya, Atma Sandushta. Yes, Atmarati Revasya, Atma Truptascha Manava. That if you are in the platform of the soul, then all your ceremonies are over. If you are on the platform of the soul. Till we reach that state, Atma Truptascha Manava. That Atma Niyavaja Sandushta, Tasya Karyamna Vidyade. For such a person, there is no more responsibility after that. So, that is very clear, isn't it? So, up to what stage one should perform these things? We must not think that that's a spiritual activity, the Shraddha ceremony and other things. And they are part of the, in order to purify us from this state, those things were introduced. The Shraddham and other associated activities along with that were introduced for that purpose. That's why often this question was come up to Srila Prabhupada also, and Prabhupada never gave much importance to it, because he expected devotees to act as first-class devotees, not expecting any results from anything, completely surrendered to Krishna and to live in a life style which will eventually lead to self-realization. That was the goal behind it. So therefore, he said that one who is engaged in Krishna service completely, without any expectation of results and without any motivation, and aham kartratva, aham bhoktratva, all these things doesn't come in a person's life, completely, totally surrendered to Krishna, he lives a life like that, he has no shraddham to be performed. Shraddha ceremony is over for the such persons. So it is in that context Prabhupada spoke like that. Almanyavya sandushta tasya karyam na vidyade. So he has nothing to execute. And earlier I mentioned about, spoke about a brahmana who has who was very poor, and eventually he came to an ashram and he lived there. And that brahmana, he also had certain attachments to his own. This attachment can develop in different ways, and karmam has to carry on till the attachment is completely gone and eventually frees. You're freed from that attachment, the karma will carry on in this world. So that state what Krishna is talking about is that state which comes from purely from inside, that realization from inside. So this brahmana, he used to have he was very fond of deity worship. He had salagramam and he had Vishnu's form, deity forms, and everything. He used to worship every single day, and he was staying in the ashram. The sannyasi who was in charge of the ashram, he was observing this for a very long period of time, how this brahmana was worshipping his deity every day, very carefully. And every day he used to collect flowers and offer pushpanjali, archana, to the deity. And then he used to prepare some food and offer it to the deity. In this way, and decorate the deity, dress the deity nicely, all these things he used to do. So he used to stay in the goshala. So he considered, because he was very poor, he had no place to go. So in a corner in a goshala, he used to stay there and do all this, his spiritual activities. So at that time, our sannyasi used to go that route every day and see the deity worship that was going on in that place. So every day he used to go there and he will see the deity worship being performed by him. After the sannyasi has come and gone, he used to take the deity, put it back into his box and keep it back. It was not like a temple deity, it was his own personal deity is what he was worshipping. For 2 years or so it went on like this. And one day the sannyasi didn't go there to see him doing the deity worship. So at that day, the brahmana come up to the sannyasi and says to him that you didn't come today after I have done the deity worship. I was waiting for you. So the sannyasi says to him, are you still continuing that deity worship? And in other words, deity worship also, at some point in time, when self-realization is complete, you may even leave that. Even the deity worship process also. So when the mind has become matured, all these activities are to turn attention from outside world to inwards, to inward looking, antarmukham. So in order to make it antarmukham, inward looking, all these processes are there. But once it has happened that the mind has gone inwards, and the tasya na kaya tasya na vidyade, that's what Krishna is saying here, tasya karyam na vidyade, that for such a person whose reflection inside, contemplation is very, very strong, he will not feel the need for any worship anymore. Because inside that realization is very strong and complete in itself. He has nothing to execute anymore. So at that point is when that thing to happen, that is where the help of a spiritual master is required to tell us that that somebody to show that route at that time. At that time you will know that the karmam has left you. You don't have any more karmam to perform in this world. Of course, these are very elevated state in spiritual life. Up to that point, we have to execute our karmam. We have to execute our sadhana, anushtanam. All that has to carry on up to that point. In other words, a stage will come. We don't have to give it up on our own. That will leave us. And from where will that signal come? Signal come from inside itself. That signal will come from inside. That that there is no more desire for sense enjoyment. There is no more attachment to karmam. Completely situated on the platform of the soul, experiencing that bliss from the coming down from the soul, one has no attraction for anything else in this world. That is the state Krishna is talking about in this verse. Yes, Almaridirevasya, Almatruptascha Manava, Almanyeva Sandushta, Tasya Karyam na Vidyade. He has no more responsibility in this world, no action to perform. And even if he performs any actions, it is not a karmam anymore. It is a yajnam. And it will only benefit others. So sometimes we say we have studied philosophy, Vedanta philosophy, and after that we will say, oh, I've understood everything, now I don't need to do any more sadhana. This mood will come. That once you start studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam a lot, and then you'll start thinking that there is no need to perform any sadhana. But that is not what Krishna is saying to us. Krishna is not saying that. Not to give up everything, because one can execute karmam so long as there is false ego inside. And so long as there is false ego inside, karmam has to be executed. Karmam will come from that person. Karmam will come from that person. And if he does not engage in sadhana, or Krishna conscious activities, he will go and do some other karmam. Because the false ego from inside will dictate to go and do some other karmam. So for example, you have heard Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam a lot. And after hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam a lot, you have understood on an intellectual platform that I am not this body. I am not this body. Why should I worry about the body? All on an intellectual plane. So then what will happen is, when you wake up in the morning after you have understood this on intellectual platform, you will give up all sadhana and go and sit in front of the TV. This is what will happen. This is a state that can happen to many people. What Krishna is saying there, karmam you should not leave on your own. Karmam has to go on. Karmam means nitya karmam, naimitya karmam. There are different types, isn't it? Some karmam has to be performed every day. Some karmam has to be based on the occasion you have to perform. That Krishna will talk about it later, nitya karmam and all that. But what is important thing is, yes, to almaridirevadasya atmatraptascha manava. Only in that state you can come out of karmam. You can leave karmam. Up to that point, karmam has to continue. When the almaridhi happens, in other words, in the state of self-realization, you can give up karmam. Otherwise not. You can give up means karmam will leave you on its own without any effort from our own. We don't have to analyze it at that time. Should I do this or should I don't do it? Should I not do this? So all that things will happen. So that is why, because we should not go and fall into nishiddha karmam. Nishiddha karma means forbidden things. In order to stop that happening, we have been given vihita karmam. For example, in a day when we have been given the responsibility, you chant a certain amount of time, so many rounds, 16 rounds or 32 rounds, whatever one is being given instructions to chant so many rounds a day. Why? At least during that time, when you are doing that karma, you won't go and do something what is not allowed. So quietly, slowly to bring us out of this karmic mentality, all different sadhana processes are given. Deity worship in the same way. Chanting the holy name and also studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, to develop the pattern of life whereby we do not get affected by the karmam. So vihita karmam, when will they go? When will all these stop in the complete state of self-realization? What happens is that when the purification has happened inside, the urge for doing particular karmam will go away from inside. That urge won't be there anymore inside. That state is what Krishna is talking about. Tasya karyam na vidyate. Tasya karyam na vidyate. Yastu atmaridirevasya atmatushtascha manavam. Atmatruptascha manavam. Then, atmanyevaja santushta. Tasya karyam na vidyate. So you can see there, yastu atmaridirevasya. That means one who has atmaridhi. Atmaridhi means he is happy in the spiritual identity. He has reached that state. Atma truptascha manava. He is complete fulfillment inside. That person has complete fulfillment. He has no more other demands, no other urge or desires inside. Atmanyevaja santushta. Not only that, he is totally peaceful in that state, in that identity with the soul. Tasya karyam na vidyate. For him, there is no more karyam to perform, no more actions to perform. Kakasheri Bhattati, a famous personality, that he was in that state for quite a long period of time. There were one famous scholar who used to come and argue. He was a very highly learned and highly accomplished scholar. Uddanda Shastri was his name. He used to travel around all over the different kingdoms, and in the king's assembly, he used to defeat the scholars there. That was his. He used to derive great happiness from there in that. So, in one particular place, a group of brahmanas, they decided that they have to defeat this Uddanda Shastri somehow. So, what they did was they. In the Vedas, there are mantras. Before a child to be born with high intelligence and high realizations, there are certain procedures followed in the Vedic system. So they selected a mother who was going expectant mother, and even before the child was conceived, a large group of brahmanas sat together and chanted the Vedic hymns, and that ghee, what was offered as a havis in their sacrifices, they fed this mother even much before the pregnancy. And they knew that if they continue doing this throughout, the child that's born will be of highly intelligent and highly spiritually advanced personality. So as they expected that, the mother had the baby, and the baby from the birth itself was a very unusual child, in the sense that the child had such characteristics. Sometimes the child was lying there and the birds used to come. So two crows used to come, a few crows used to come, and he used to tell them, he could distinguish between one crow to another. Normally it's very difficult, isn't it? When you see the crow, they all look the same color and same features. And if you have seen many times, still you won't be able to say the difference between one to another. They all look the same. But this child used to say, this crow has come yesterday, this crow was here a few days ago. Like that, he could separate them out in such a way, so sharp he was in his vision. So he was born, and by the age of 7 years, he has learned everything from the Shastram. He was so intelligent. So Uddanda Shastri came, and he was defeated by this child in the discussion of the Shastram. So after growing up, when he was about 18, 20 years old, he gave up all his spiritual activities. Spiritual activities means, for brahmanas, they have to perform Sandhyavandanam, Agnihotram, and other yajnam, what they were to perform. So all the other brahmanas who were there, they were asking him, Kakasheri, why have you stopped Sandhyavandanam? Sandhyavandana means the three sandhyas they have to perform, isn't it? In the morning when the sun comes out, in the evening when the sun sets, and during the middle of the day. So that is a must for them. That was a must for them. They never, normally that is the time when they all meet at the river or at the temple, and they will have that Sandhyavandanam performed. And one who does not perform Sandhyavandanam, he is not considered to be a Brahmana. He is not even considered to be a Brahmana. That life is not there anymore. That is very hard to find today. But there was a time when they followed this very rigidly, because they didn't have to go to factories or to offices in the morning to get their wages to live. They lived a life like that, completely dependent on spiritual principles. So when we talk about all these things, people find, how is that possible? How could they live like that? But they did live like that, in that way. That they had no other activities in life, and they strictly followed the scriptural injunctions. Varnashrama dharma was favorable for all that. So, because it was like that, they had strictly followed this Sandhyavandanam. Sandhyavandanam, they could never give up Sandhyavandanam. So there was no question. Even if they are sick, they'll execute Sandhyavandanam. In three Sandhya, three times a day. And Sandhyavandanam, if you don't have it, others will question. Why do you don't execute Sandhyavandanam? They will reject you from the community or from the society. You won't be given any place in any of the sacrifices. You won't be even given prasadam from the temple if there is no Sandhyavandanam. Brahmanas were very rigid at that time. So one day, this Kakasheri was engaged in Sandhyavandanam. He stopped completely. And others have observed that he was not performing any Sandhyavandanam. So they says to him that what's happening to you for the last 3-4 days, they will really get at you when you don't do it. And they asked him that last 4 days you have not bathed, you have not performed Sandhyavandanam. What's wrong with you, they said. He says to him, only when the sun sets, then I can start Sandhyavandanam, isn't it? He answers back. He says, when the sun sets, I can start Sandhyavandanam. But sun is not setting, what to do? That was his response. Why? The words he spoke was like this. Hridagashe chidadityam sadabhadi nirandaram udayastamaye nasteha kadam sandhyam upasmahe. In Sandhyavandanam, whom you worship, your Sandhya Devada. Devada at the Sandhyavandana. Sandhyavandana Devada is there. Just like we have a Snana Devada. When you are bathing, there is a deity attached to bathing. It's called Snana Devada. So, he's saying here, Hridagashe Chidaditya, that constantly the sun is inside. Because what he's saying is this state, what Krishna is talking about, that already that realization has come to me, who I am. In other words, self-realization has happened. But he puts it in this way, Hridagashe Chidaditya, that the sun is shining inside. In other words, self-realization is experiencing himself. Sada Bhadi Nirandaram. That it is continuous, it's shining, without any interruption. Udaya astamaye nasteha. That there is no udayam. Udayam means sunrise, and there is no astamanam. There is no sunset inside happening. Katham sandhya upasmahe. In that state, which sandhya should I worship? That was his question. He answered back in this way to the brahmanas there. So brahmanas were actually, they don't know, because those who are asking this question, they are still in the Sandhyavandanam stage. So when they ask this question, Kakasheri's answer was, Hridagashe chidaditya sadabhadi nirandaram udayastamaye steha kadam sandhyam upasmahe. So when that knowledge, self-realization has happened inside, it is continuous and uninterrupted. There is no sunrise, there is no sunset. How can I perform Sandhyavandanam? This was his question. all other anushtanam, all other spiritual activities, what one has to do. For example, just like devotees have been given this instruction, you should do deity worship, you should chant the holy name, you should attend the Mangalarti, you should attend this program, that program, so many instructions, isn't it, for the devotees. But all those things, one cannot execute anymore. because the stage has come that he says here, I am having contamination period, he says. Who? Because in contamination period is an excuse when you don't do all these things, isn't it? People generally don't go to the temple or perform any particular sadhana. You don't bathe. You live free from all that. So it's a kind of a holiday from spiritual life. So here, Kakasheri is saying to them that I also have same contamination now. Why? What is the contamination? Mrida mohamayi mada jada bodhamayi shishu. That my mother died. Which mother? I had a mother which was full of material desires, moham, material desires. That mother is dead now. And because of that, I have contamination. And jada bodhamayi shishu, my pure consciousness has come up, who I am. So therefore, a birth has happened, due to that I have contamination. And a death has happened, also because of that I have contamination. So, because of both of them, I cannot do anything, he says back to them. So, that state is what Krishna is talking about here. Yastu atmaridirevasya, atmadruptascha manava, atmanyevaja sandushta, tasya kairyam na vidyade. That means, in the state of self-realization, when the full knowledge and our identity as the spirit soul is complete within ourselves, then all this karma, other responsibility in this world, they all can go. They will leave us. I mean, without even our own effort, they will leave us. We have no more karma to perform after that. If you look at many devotees' life also, this is true. This is not only in the case of jnanis, it's also in the case of devotees. Devotees also, due to spiritual realizations, all these things will happen. All these things will happen. Up to that point, we have to continue with our sadhana. We have to continue with our anushtanam. Or the upasana, whatever one is performing, is necessary. If you think about Villumangalam, what Villumangalam talk about this, that story is very famous. Very, very well-known story. Villumangalam was sitting on the Bharada River, banks of the river Bharada River, underneath the tree. And he is a sannyasi as well. He is sitting there as a sannyasi. So at that time, sannyasis are supposed to get up early in the morning, bathe themselves and perform their duties, which are meant for the sannyasis. And he was not doing anything. So all the Villamangalam was a famous sannyasi at that time. All the devadas, demigods, came to see him, to ask him why he is not performing Sandhyavandanam. So Sandhyavandana Devada came, Snana Devada came, all the Pitralokam, the predominant deities from the Pitralokam, they had come. And like this, they all came together to see our Villumangalam. So Villumangalam is sitting there. While sitting there, inside is, he is experiencing all Krishna's pastimes. He is enjoying it. And Krishna is inside playing, and he is in that state of consciousness, enjoying everything, seeing Krishna's different pastimes. Not in a artificial way, like we do. We are trying to force that on us, isn't it? Whereas for Villamangalam, it was happening in a natural way inside. That had gone so high in spiritually. So when they came, Villamangalam didn't take even notice of them. He was sitting there absorbed in this world, Krishna's world of Krishna's pastimes. In the world of Krishna's pastime. So they paid their obeisances and woke up Villumangalam from that state of consciousness and says to them that, Villumangalam, what is going on here? You are a sannyasi and you have not even taken bathe yourself this morning, nor have you done anything. Responsibility is meant for a sannyasi. It was then that Villumangalam spoke this verse, which is in the Krishna Karnavardham. Sandhya Vandana Vadramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Dubhyam Nama. Bodeva Pidarashadar Panavidho Naham Chamachamyadam Yatra Kwabinishidha Yadava Kulotam Sasya Kamsadisham Smaram Smaramakam Harami Tadalam Manyeki Manye Name. Villumangalam says to them, Sandhyavandanam Badramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Dubhyam Nama. That Sandhyavandanam, I pay my respectful obeisances to you. He identified who they were, who had come to see him. He says to them, I pay my respectful obeisances to you. Then he turns to Snana Devada and says to her also, I pay my obeisances to you. Then to Pitralokam, Pitradevadas, to him, them also, he pays his obeisance to them. Obeisances to them. Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo Bhodeva Pitarascha. To Pitralokam, the deities from the Pitralokam, he says to them that I know that I have not performed Tarpanam. Tarpanam means with the water you offer that oblations to the Pitralokam deities. I have not done that. I am conscious of that, he says. So forgive me for not doing my... And to Sandhyavandana deity, he says, I know I have not bathed in the morning. I have not bathed in the morning. And Sandhyavandana Badramastu Bhavado Bho Snana Tubhyam Namo. So Snana Devada, he says, I have not bathed. To Sandhyavandana Devada, he says, I have not performed Sandhyavandanam. And to Pitradevadas, he says, I have not performed a Tarpanam. So different obligations to different Devadas. None of them I have done today. He says, I have not done it. I know I am conscious of that, he says. So then he says, what can I do? Yatra kvabi. When suddenly he came, Krishna had come. Nishiddha yadava kulotam sasya kamsadvisham smaram smaramakam. Krishna has come inside and he has started this game, pastimes inside. Because of that, I cannot do anything now. If I get up from here, Krishna may go away from inside. So let me enjoy this at this moment. I am so sorry, I can't do anything for you, he says to them. This is the verse from the Krishnakarnamadam. Smaram smaramakam harami tadalam manye kimanye namem. I have my obligations to you is over. There is no more obligations from me since Krishna has taken this, has occupied the heart. So that state, what Vilumangalam has spoken about, is a state for the devotees when they come to that state. Absorbed in Krishna 100% and there is no more obligations anywhere in this world. So when Krishna is continuously illumination inside, where is the time for a Sandhyavandanam? And Krishna is not giving me time for bathing or performing snanam. And that state of consciousness is yastalma redirevasya. Yastalma redirevasya. In the case of many jnanis also this has happened. Jnanis as well as devotees, this state has happened. Sometimes they go into such state of self-realized state that they cannot come down back to this world again and to perform all our normal obligations what the society has got. Society is controlled by all the rules and regulations, isn't it? All the rules and regulations. But for them, there is no such regulations. So, Atmanyeva Sandushta Dasya Karyam Na Vidyade. And in some cases, some great personalities, jnanis, they have, after realization, they will come out. And because the body is still there, they need some food, isn't it? Body, they will not reject the body completely. So they will go out begging for the food. And at that time, Krishna says here, that sharira yatra bijade, they will only do whatever that has to be done for maintaining the body till the body leaves them. And in a sannyasi's case, that is a bicham dehi, he goes to different houses and asks for the food. So generally they will ask one or two times. If food is given, they will take it. If not, they will go, leave and go from there. So even if they come back to the world of Vyavaharam, if they have to perform Vyavaharam, means the transactions in this world, that it will not affect them anymore. It will not affect them anymore. There were sannyasis who lived in the ashram in that state of consciousness, assisting everybody else in the ashram duties, just like the cutting the vegetables or cleaning the temple, cleaning the ashram. In that way, they will still assist others. And that is that becomes their natural state. Krishna knows all these things. And they are already in a state of samadhi. Yastalpa redirevasya. And in that state, they can execute any kind of work. Any kind of work. Even if they are executing any kind of work, it will not affect them. Because there is no karma involved in that. It is purely done. They have not tasya karyam na vidyate. They have nothing to gain from that. So, continuation of this verse is the next verse. Continuing to talk, Krishna is talking about that person who has reached that state. Naiva tasya krite nartho na krite neha kaschanam na chasya sarvabhudeshu kaschid artha vyavashrayam naiva tasya krite nartho na krite neha kaschanam na chasya sarvabhudeshu kaschidartha vyabhashrayam. Self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. So, a self-realized man has no longer obliged to perform any prescribed duty, save and except activities in Krishna consciousness. So, here, naiva tasya krite nartho na krite neha kaschana na chasya sarvabhudeshu kaschil arthavyabhashrayam. That one who is situated in the soul, a jnani, he has nothing to gain by doing anything in this world. And by not doing, they are not going to lose anything either. We are different, aren't we? For us, we are very clear. We have to do this and we have to get this. And we won't do this because we are not getting anything from that. This is very strongly ingrained in us, those who live in this world. So, householder life is full of this, isn't it? In householder life, this is the main thing, that I'll do this, I should get that. I won't do that because I'm not getting anything from that. This mood is very strong in the householder life. And because it is like that, Krishna is saying here that those who have come out of that, naiva tasya krite nartho na krite neha kaschana, yani does not have anything to get from anything. And actually why we say about householder is this reason, that sannyasis and brahmacharis are not supposed to have this mood. They are supposed to stay in the spiritual position without any, although it may not be happening in this world, that's another thing. But in principle, Krishna expects that these fruitive activities should be performed only by the householder, where expectation of results and even to householder, Krishna's instruction is make it as a yajnam. What to talk about sannyasi and brahmachari? If sannyasi and brahmachari is engaged in activities for acquiring wealth and acquiring position and acquiring profit from this world, then what to talk about the householder? That's the question. Householders are allowed because of their situation is like that. So anyway, Krishna says here, a jnani, a realized soul, he has nothing to gain in this world. So when he is executing any karmam, that is the main thing, that he has nothing to gain from that. He is simply doing it because it's not due to karma vasana inside. He may do things for the benefit of the world. It is only a yajnam, completely a yajnam. So he is completing himself. On the other hand, if he has not done anything, nothing is going to happen to him. Whereas for us, if we don't do something, so many things are going to happen to us, isn't it? So, after every karma is executed, we are going to receive an added joy from that karma. Forget about the results from that. Unless there is some happiness from that, there is no action going to happen in this world. In other words, even if on a gross level, if we are not receiving any benefit, at least on a subtle level, there should be some happiness. Only then people will execute this karma. But jnanis are not like that. Jnanis, every activity, or when I say jnani, a realized soul, all his activities are from a platform of perfection, from a perfectional platform. The reason why we are saying like this, that we also, that should be the stage what one should be looking for, to act from the platform of perfection in Purnada. So, in order to make our actions are incomplete when we act from the platform of ego, from the platform of selfishness. So Krishna says here that in order to make that action perfect, one has to move away into the platform of the soul and operate from there. And in that case, that activity itself will become an experience of Brahman, Brahmanubhavam. It will become a Brahmanubhavam. Kaschidartha Vibhashraya. Krishna says here that the last line, if you look, Kaschid Artha Vibhashraya. That Kaschid Artha Vibhashraya. In other words, he does not have to depend on anything, anybody else. That stage has gone for him. Kaschid Artha Vibhashraya. Why he said like that? Because we have a debt towards the sages. We have a debt towards the Pitraloka, Pitradevatas. And to the demigods, we have debt. But one who has come to the platform of self-realization, he has no debt anymore. Devarshi Bhudapta Nranam Pidurnam. Bhagavatam says like this. Devarshi Bhudapta Nranam Pidurnam. Na Kingaro Nayam Ranicha Rajan. Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam. Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartram. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this. That Devarshi Bhudapta Nranam Pidurnam. Devas, demigods, rishi, sages, Buddhas, other living entities, Devarshi, Buddha, Aptanam, relatives, Aptanam, Pidranam, Pidralogam, deities. No Kingaro Naya Vranicha Rajan. There is no obligations any of them anymore. Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam. One who has taken complete shelter of Krishna. For him, there is no more obligations to any of them. And that is that state Krishna is saying here, that that debts are gone for one who is absorbed in the soul. He has nothing to give and nothing to receive. And because he is situated in that state, all debts have been written off. And Acharya says like this, that one whose consciousness is completely absorbed in the soul, and even for a short period of time, he has already executed all the sacrifices what one is supposed to perform in this world. And he has already bathed in all the holy places. And he has already executed all the anushtanam. And all his debts are fulfilled. Snavam tena samasta varinivanau punya samasta kriyaha. Sampurnam jagadev nandanavanam. That he has nothing to do anymore. Vairasya kriden arthaha. That is that words. Naivadasya kriden arthaha. Nagrideneha kaschana. And na chasya sarvabhudeshu kaschidartha vibhashraya. So once the state of self-realization has come, then you can't expect him anymore to fulfill any of those obligations what we are talking about in this world. All these obligations are also, it is coming from the Smriti. As you know, that there is a Shruti and a Smriti. Smriti is the life pattern given to us by the sages to live in this world in such a way that eventually all our karma will get purified and become qualified to receive, realize the knowledge what is spoken in the Shruti. That is the connection between Shruti and Smriti. Shruti talks about everything. Shruti talks about karma gandam, upasana gandam, jnana gandam. Generally, it is spoken that, like Srimad Bhagavad Gita is also a replica of the Shruti. Shruti has got karma gandam, upasana gandam, jnana gandam. Bhagavad Gita has got karma yogam, bhakti yogam, jnana yogam. Karma yogam is karma gandam, bhakti yogam is upasana gandam, and Jnana Yogam is Jnana Gandam. That is how Bhagavad Gita is structured in the same pattern as the Shruti. Shruti means the Vedas. So, in the Vedas, as you go advanced, first by executing karmam, karma gandam, you become purified. Then you develop devotion from that, And the result of that devotion, you receive the transcendental realization from that. The spiritual knowledge and self-realization comes from that. So it is in that pattern Shruti is formulated. Karmakandam, Upasanakandam, Upasanakandam and Jnanakandam. In the same pattern, Bhagavad Gita also, Karma Yogam, the first six chapters, from that develops the bhakti process. Bhakti Yoga, Chitta Shuddhi will happen by executing Karma Yogam. That qualifies a person to become a first proper devotee, bhakti, and by executing bhakti process, eventually you become qualified to receive that proper, finally, release, or jnanam, transcendental knowledge, to release himself from the existence of material existence. So, you can see there that the person who is realized the truth, he has no more karmagandam or any other duty. Upasanakandam also is finished for him. He has reached that state already. So, Krishna says that that state, one who has reached that state, he has punya samasta kriyaha sambhurnam jagadeva nandanavanam. That he has nothing to gain anymore, or he has nothing to lose either. So, naivadasya kritenartho nakriteneha kaschana. You can't impose any more duties of this world upon that person who has reached that state of consciousness. Na chasya sarvabhudeshu kaschidartha vipashrayaha. That he will not even take on shelter of anybody or any other living entities in this world, because already he is in the fully realized state. Bodily identity, only in the bodily state, bodily identity, we take shelter of other living entities or we take shelter of the world, isn't it? But in the self-realized state, there is no question of taking shelter of someone. All that state is gone away from him. And therefore, Krishna says, Tasmad, in the next verse. Tasmad. So, Krishna's favorite word, Tasmad. Krishna says to Arjuna that, Tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hyacharan karma param apnodi purusha tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hyacharan karma param apnodi purusha. Translation. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. Tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hyacharak acharak karma param apnodi purusha. So, Krishna says here that take to that state, Krishna says, that to Arjuna, that don't do karmam like a beggar. Don't do karmam like a beggar. But be situated in the knowledge and execute the karmam. Now you can see the difference between ordinary people and what Krishna is talking about. Ordinary people are like beggars, isn't it? He's doing karmam because if the results don't come, he gets upset, isn't it? From the karmam. No, but everyone performs karmam in this world like a beggar. Beggar wants a result, otherwise he doesn't. He says, what's the point in doing this? What's the point in doing that? So here, Krishna's instructions to Arjuna is, in seriousness, be situated in the platform of this soul, spiritual platform, and execute your karmam in that way. If you become a beggar, Krishna says, just like a beggar is chased by the people, now similarly, all the elements in this nature will also chase you away from here. That is Krishna's words to him. In other words, that if you become a beggar and execute karmam, it will be a continuous distress throughout life. Nothing will come out of that. But therefore Krishna says, become in the platform of a jnani, of a realized soul, and execute the karmam. don't execute the karma to get something, and let it be an expression of your happiness inside. Execution of karma and the happiness that comes inside. If it becomes a karma that comes out in that way from a person, that karma will be beneficial to all other living entities. Therefore, Krishna says, tasmad asaktaha, that act without any attachment. And one who has no attachment and who is completely situated in the platform of the soul and the peace associated with satadam kaya karma samachara, that satadam, not for some time, all the time. And he also, not like this, that what karma should I perform? If I have nothing to do, then I go and take up some other karma. Is that what you mean? No, not like that. Karyam karma samachara. Karyam karma samachara means that according to your nature, swabhavam, that according to your nature, whatever karma has been given to you, execute that karma in that way. So that karma, one should not give up any time and continuously do that. Satatam, karyam karma samachara. Without the mood that I am the doer, and without expectation of any results, without any attachment or aversion, constantly one who is executing that karma, let that karma flow through you. This is Krishna's instructions to Arjuna. If you do like that, you will never get exhausted and you will never feel tired either. So what Krishna says in this particular verse is, if you look there, you will see, tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hi acharan karma param apnodi purusha. Simply Krishna is saying to us that if karma has to become a yajnam, then all these characteristics will be there. What is that? That asakta satatam, there is no attachment to anything. He is doing it as a yajnam. Karyam karma samachara, that it's only as a matter of duty, but asakto hi acharan karma, for by working without attachment, Krishna says, param apnodi purusha. So, what is spoken in the Karma Yoga is the same thing what Krishna has spoken earlier also, isn't it? In the second chapter, when he talked about Karma Yoga, Krishna says that the Chatur Sutram, if you remember, the four Sutram Krishna talked about, that karmanneva adhigaraste mahabaleshu kadachana mahakarma balahedubbur madhe sangostu agarmani. It's the same thing Krishna is saying again here. Asakta sadadam karyam karma samachara. So there are many examples like this, that the person who has developed this habit of executing karma in that way, he does not feel fatigue. He does not feel fatigued any time. Because sometimes people, you see, they need compassion from others, isn't it? And that's not considered to be a good thing, because the people find as an excuse for not executing in the karma. That's also another result of that. So often people take excuses, so my body is not in a good shape, mine is not in a good shape, some reasons not to engage in karma. That Krishna does not accept that, because he says here that it is your attitude that makes you feel weak in executing karma. Kaya karma samachara. And realize the soul, they continue to act. When you observe them, you may see that they are engaged in certain activities which you are thinking, or they are not important. For example, when you see a highly advanced and realized soul goes to kitchen and cutting vegetables there, you think, oh, why is he doing that? Why can't he get, for paying £5 an hour, you can get someone to do that? Why should he be doing that? So that's how normally people will think about that. Because our mind, we have seen things in that way. Everything through, we prioritize, we say, isn't it, the work. So if we put that into karma, that will cause problems. A person who has realized, or the truth, who is between the platform of the self, he does not feel tired of anything. He continues to do karma. And for him, there is no higher and lower karma. All karma is simply a function of the body. Kari karma samachara. We can't even imagine the kind of activities they'll perform, and sometimes they may not do any activity, but it will not affect the mesa. And when you see them, sometimes you can even think, you can imagine how they could perform so much activity. Like about Srila Prabhupada also, people used to say how he could do so much at such an advanced age in life, that he was able to travel so much and engaged in writing books, and because constantly this was the consciousness, that therefore there was no tiredness. And similarly, if you look all the great personalities, all the great acharyas, they also did exactly the same thing. Ajari Swamiji's case, in 32 years, he traveled all through the country 3 times, up and down. So many stotrams and books he wrote, and commentaries he wrote, and in the end, Bhagavad Gita, when you start reading, he says here that when they did all these things in such a short period of time in life, it makes a matter of great surprise to us, isn't it? Because most of us start reading Bhagavad Gita at the age of 60, when we start take first time Bhagavad Gita in the hand. And we also start reading Bhagavad Gita, and by the time we understand Bhagavad Gita, it's a long way to go, isn't it? So when we see the acharyas, how they had absorbed themselves in Bhagavad Gita at such an early age in life, and lived that life purely based on Bhagavad Gita's principle, like Krishna has spoken here, it is something which is worthwhile noticing. That from where did they get so much inspiration to work? Asakti vyacharan karmam. That asakti vyacharan karmam. Already, because they have understood the principle of Bhagavad Gita, that they were asakti. There was no attachment to anything they were executing. Asangoham, asangoham. Asangoham puna puna sachidananda rooboham ahamevaham avyayam. That was their consciousness. Asangoham, asangoham, asangoham puna puna. All the time when actions are performed by them, it is asangoham, no connection, no attachment in anything, in their activities. Asangoham, asangoham, asangoham puna puna. Again and again, that is the state of consciousness. Then why? What else they do? Sachidananda rupoham. My nature is Sachidanandam. Satta Chitta Anandam. The nature of the soul. I am that. Sachidananda rupoham. And he says, Aham evaham avyayam. I am by nature, I cannot be avyayam. Avyayam means that I do not get consumed. In other words, I don't get finished. I live forever. So because of that, that aham evaham avyayam, that I don't perish. I will always exist. So in the spiritual platform, when one is operating in this world, you can see he lives forever. On a material platform, when you operate, you get tired, you need rest, and you need to withdraw from this world. And that is due to our bodily identity. But when one is completely moved to the spiritual platform, then he has the freedom to act. He can do if he wants to do it. If he doesn't do it, nothing happens. If he does anything, it doesn't bind him. And he never gets tired of doing anything either. So this is the difference operating between material consciousness and in the spiritual consciousness. So, asangoham, 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 puna puna. Sachidananda rooboham, aham evaham avyayam. That there is no time that I do not exist. If all this is completely realized inside, then any activity that is performed with the body did not create any fatigue in that person. He just never gets exhausted. So, avyayam. He does not release any energy by executing any work. All these things looks very strange, isn't it, when we say these things? Because we start thinking, how is it possible that you don't get tired when you do something? It is possible. That's what they're saying. Then, while executing work, no energy is lost for him. Whereas for us, we do some little work for 10 minutes, we are tired. We need a recess, isn't it? We want freedom from that, yeah. So, it's just like a secret tap is open continuous flow of energy is coming from the source, from the source. The there are various things in related to that. If you look into great personalities who have been self-realized and lived a life like that, if you observe that, you will see this, that so Keshava Chandra Sen, a great Brahma Samaji, he used to see this, sometimes observe this in other people, and he used to mention about that also, that the way the energy flows is, in the olden days, the farmers, when they harvest the paddy or the rice or the wheat, they will store in a room inside in the house. That was their main wealth, isn't it? Most of the people were farming, and the wealth that has come from that, the real wealth, which was grains, that was stored in the house. So, because the big farmers, they'll have so much grains they have harvested, they will require a big facility inside the house. And for their consumption, they'll have to take from that. So, the system was from the main room, storage room, there will be a chute-like thing. If you open that, through that the grains will fall, and you take what you need for a week's consumption, and then take it to for the mortar and grind it and remove the skin and use the rice or whatever for that. So you will always see, if you keep open the chute, if you open the gate, immediately continuous flow is coming from inside, non-stop. So similarly, the example is that for a jnani or for a realized soul also, in the same way, the energy is coming continuously from inside, non-stop. And he doesn't, because he is accepted, he doesn't require any rest. Because while performing action, he remains in rest. He remains in rest, always in rest, always in movement, always in action. Movement and rest, both. Chala chaladi vedrishu yadar yadrishchiko bhaved. Gaudapada Acharya says about that state, that he is engaged in activity, but on the other hand, he is in total rest as well. The body is constantly engaged in the activity, but inside the consciousness, he is free from the, it is not affecting him, because all activities are done without any attachment. So, you know this thing children play with, I don't know what is it called, the something they tie a rope around it and they throw, yeah, and it'll keep on
yo-yo,
this thing called yo-yo. That if you play with that, you will see there that if you continuously execute karma without any attachment, it'll keep on going like this, but after some time it stops, isn't it? Yo-yo will stop. Similarly, if we execute karma as a sadhana, not without any attachment to it, the jnanis execute karma in that way. When we execute karma with vasana, the karma cannot carry on for a long time. After a while, we feel that tired. That's why Krishna is saying, paramapnodi purusha. That verse is in it. That he says there, tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara. Verse 19. Asakto hi acharan karma paramapnodi purusha. That, in other words, he has reached that state, paramapnodi purusha. In that state, he will not, his activities are such that the karma vasana is not disturbing him anymore. Suppose this yo-yo keeps on going on like that, continuously. After a while it will stop, isn't it? After a while it will stop. Similarly, if you have no attachment and you engage in karma will continue for a very long period of time. On the other hand, karma which is executed with vasana, it won't last very long. After some time, it will stop. Every time when we execute a karma in this world, normal state, what we do with a motive behind it, isn't it? So throwing away that motive, taking it away from that, and considering that I'm not the karta, I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer, I'm simply an instrument in Krishna's hands, and when we execute karma in that way, and Krishna is using me in that process, and if that understanding, if we execute karma, all that vasanas inside will get released. Eventually, it will go away from inside, and inside will become peaceful. That's what Krishna is saying, paramapnodi purusha. Continuously do karma, but it will stop. The example given is like this. If you tie a cow with a rope to a post, what the cow will do is cow will keep moving around the post to eat the grass. And ultimately, because he is moving around, he doesn't know that the rope is getting tied around the post. So eventually he cannot move anymore because the rope will become smaller and smaller when he moves around the post, isn't it? There's a certain length, and that length will get reduced as he goes around and around. It will come to a complete stop. So similarly, even if there is activity inside paramapnodi purusha, that his karma will come to a stop at the end. Karma will come to a stop at the end. And when executing sadhana, that karma should become Krishna's worship, worship of Krishna. That who can do that? Only those people, they can do execute this deity worship in that state, only who has got the goal as self-realization in life. Otherwise, it's not possible to do that. In other words, what Krishna is saying here is that if the goal is self-realization and if you are in spiritual life for that purpose, if you are in spiritual life for the purpose of self-realization, then if you execute karma, all these things will happen. But if you take to spiritual life simply for the sake of fulfilling our material desires and material requirements, then this won't happen. That is another important point. That in order to escape from the misery of material life, we take to spiritual life. And after coming to spiritual life, if we keep that material consciousness and execute sadhana or execute different spiritual activities, Krishna is saying that will not release us from the cycle of birth and death, nor spiritual knowledge will come to us eventually. So, on the other hand, Krishna says here that everything was done as an offering to Krishna, purely on a spiritual platform, only for such people they can come to that state of consciousness. Otherwise, people will say, then, because sometimes people will say, when you are engaged in spiritual life, why are you doing all these things? What are you going to get from this? And then sometimes people say, that those who are executing spiritual life also, they will have problems in life. Not that they have taken out all the problems. Then they will say, you have done all these things, still what has happened to you? This also people say like this, isn't it? People have this misunderstanding. They are saying, oh, you have been a devotee, so many years you have been chanting, still you got ill, you got sick, you are suffering like this. So what was the point in doing all these things? So that means general... they are called laugigas. Laugiga means who are completely on a material platform, seeing everything. They are saying, I'm doing all these things with some benefit. Benefit is this, that I should live happily in this world forever, with family, children and grandchildren and all, a comfortable material life, for which I am planning my spiritual life in that way. So Krishna is saying that if you do like that, it won't happen. Vasanas won't go from inside. Only purely if it is executed from the platform self-realization, only then vasanas will go. Whereas if you conduct our spiritual life centered around all material desires, then it is not going to free us from that bondage any time. That is the point Krishna is making here. That natural question is, therefore, you can't answer these people. Because if you tell them that, I'm not performing all these activities for the sake of my material happiness, they won't understand that. They'll still say to you that, it was a complete waste of time, wasn't it? That's what they say to you first thing. And you can't take it for granted that 99.9% is in that category. also of people. Everyone is not taking the spiritual life. That's why you can't make it as a massive propaganda thing, spiritual life. If you do it like that, what will happen is the goal will all change in due course. It will become a janata affair, a common thing, isn't it? So spiritual life is generally, if it has to have that purity, and to associate with people who have such understanding is good, that who have this understanding that I'm not executing my spiritual life to maintain this body, I'm not executing my spiritual life for some recognition in this world, I'm not executing my spiritual life so that I won't feel any distress in this life. Those who have that understanding, then their association will help. But if you associate with people who are constantly linking their material happiness to their spiritual activity, and if you associate with them, in due course of time, you will also become one like them. That's what will happen. It is a problem that when we engage in spiritual life, the type of association we get, it is an important thing. Because constantly people are completely, those who come to spiritual life, many of them have such motive. And therefore their association is not very beneficial to anybody. Krishna's point is that you can't answer those people. Because they are already, you see, everything we do in this world, we've already made up our mind what we want, isn't it? It is centered around that all our activities are. Krishna talked about that is Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi in the second chapter. In the Upanishads, they call it Adhyavasayam. Vyavasayam, Adhyavasayam, there are different words for that. In principle, what it means is, inside you have made up your mind what you want. Everybody has made up their mind in this life what I want. Centered around that, all our other activities will happen. If that thing what we have, decision what we have made inside, if it is based on body and bodily happiness, then all our spiritual activities also will go along with that. It won't be different than that. That is the problem, that spiritual institutions sometimes will go in that direction. That it's not necessary that they are, because they are the bosses, they are all properly situated. It is not like that. The principle Krishna is saying here is that you have to look at, if the activities are performed on the basis of this understanding, that my happiness is based on, this material happiness is the goal, and inside decision what they have made, that Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi, if it is there, the karma has to follow from that in the same way that flows from them, will always have its effect. So Krishna says here, if their goal is self-realization, and for them who has no false ego operating inside, and whose goal is that peace, tadaparam shanti ubhayadi sakshal, in a natural way, that they will have that, their decision also will be very secretly situated in that position. The result is that the knowledge is automatically manifest in them without any external imposition. The knowledge will naturally manifest in them. They are not saying that you should not accept results when it comes. And it may come, it may not come. Come and goes. But that will happen according to its own law. The karmic results of karma, Krishna mentions in the Chatursutram, isn't it? That karmanneva adhikaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana. That results ma karma balahe durbur. That is the important word. That your action is not the cause of the result. It is not directly dependent on your action that the result is coming. Result is provided on other accounts. Krishna's decision it is. The result, you should have it or you should not have it. So if you can separate those two, Krishna says, that means the karma what we are executing and the result that is coming from that, they are totally independent. That's the point Krishna says here. That will happen on its own. But if our mind don't go and get stuck to that results, then paramapnodi purusha. Then one is released from the trouble. Because question will come that, how is this possible? isn't it? This is a big question, million-dollar question we'll ask all the time. That no matter how many times Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, still people will find it very, very difficult to accept it. Because, you know, these are, as we talked before, whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking to us from the platform of the truth. I mean, Krishna is saying here, this is how this world is created. And this is the law on which this world is running. And if you want to follow this route, you can follow. But if you start asking questions about that, there is no answer to it. All these questions, there is no answer. Why there is no answer? Because Krishna is saying to us that karmam is bondage. There are many things in this world which we do not know. We do not know. There is no answer why we have to die. There is no answer after death what happens. If you leave behind the Vedic literature, if you ask this question in this world, why do I have to leave the body? Why am I forced to die? Why am I forced to accept another body? And we have no knowledge also of acceptance of in what situation we get another body. All these things are unknown to us. So because all these factors are unknown, Bhagavad Gita is telling us that there is a whole science behind it. That is this Bhagavad Gita. That is the science of the material nature, karmam, the living entity, the spirit soul, and the time. All five things together. They are operating together. So on the basis of that, Krishna is telling us that karmam is the bondage, cause of the bondage. Free yourself from karmam. So in order to free yourself from karmam, Krishna gave us this karma yogam, process of karma yogam. And in the karma yogam process, Krishna says here that when you are executing karma yogam, these two things can happen. What is that? That you have the possibility that kartratvam and bhoktratvam will come, ragam and dvesham will come. So while executing karmam, if you can do without these four, it becomes karma yogam. But you will execute karmam. Even after a karma yogi also will executing karmam, but at the same time, he will not be looking for the results. And if any results come from that, he should not get affected by it. That's the point. So that third thing, na karma bhala he durbhur, karma bhalam is not dependent on your karmam. Karma bhalam is an independent thing that comes according to Krishna decides whether you should have it or don't have it. That's another thing. But that is the karma, naishkarma siddhi we spoke about before, isn't it? So practically, is there anybody who has done this and lived in this world like that? And is it possible to stay in that situation all the time? These questions will naturally come. In order to answer that is the next verse. Verse 20. Karma naiva hi samsiddhim.
Karma naiva hi samsiddhim.
Astita janakadaya.
Astita janakadaya.
Loga sangrahamevapi.
Loga sangrahamevapi.
Sampashyan kartum arhasi.
Sampashyan kartum arhasi.
Karma naiva hi bodh samsiddhim.
Karma naiva hi bodh samsiddhim.
Astita janakadaya.
Astita janakadaya.
Loga sangrahamevapi.
Loga sangrahamevapi.
Sampashyan kartum arhasi.
Sampashyan kartum arhasi.
Translation. Even kings like Janaka and others attained the perfectional stage by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Yeah? So, have you noticed their word there, janagadaya? Krishna says, not only janaga, janagadaya, he says. That means many others as well. Many other. We'll see who they are later. So, karmaneiva hi samsiddhim astida janagadaya. This is how they have performed karma. Because Krishna is giving, when we say, oh, is it practical, if you ask that question, the answer is there. Krishna is saying, well, they have done it, so you can't say it's not practical. That's the point Krishna is making there. That karmanevi samsiddhim astida janagadayam. That by karmam alone, personalities like Janaka, King Janaka, they have reached the ultimate destination. This word, samsiddhim janagadaya, karmanevi samsiddhim astida janagadaya. What is that word, samsiddhi? Samsiddhi, Acharya Swamiji says in the commentary that samsiddhi means chittashuddhi, the purity inside. So what actually happens is, by executing karma yoga, it develops into purification inside, purity inside. Chittashuddhi will develop. So you can imagine, if the karma is not pure, the chittashuddhi won't happen. If chittashuddhi doesn't happen, bhakti won't come. And if bhakti doesn't happen, knowledge will never come. So they are all linked to each other. They are not independent completely. If karma is completely pure, only then the traces of bhakti will develop inside. Bhakti is a very elevated stage, isn't it? And through that bhakti, when it comes to a parabhakti, Krishna talks about that final release from the and pure transcendental knowledge. Like in the case of Parikshit, you can see that at the end he says to him, that the Parikshit says, Siddhosmi anagrihidosmi bhavada karunalpana. By your causeless mercy, I have reached that state now. In order to say that, for Parikshit to say that, you can imagine Parikshit had to go through Srimad Bhagavatam, and from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is eventually that mercy, he says there, that it is not possible to reach that state without that the chittashuddhi. So when karma is executed without any desire for results and without I am the doer consciousness, chittashuddhi will happen. And when chittashuddhi happens, eventually he will become qualified for receiving the transcendental knowledge. Just chittashuddhi develops into bhakti. Purity will happen, and then he will understand what is Krishna means. Proper Krishna consciousness will develop inside. That's why karmam and bhakti continuously going on, eventually he becomes qualified to receive the tanmano shodhanam karyam pravurtyena mumukshana. That mano shodhanam karyam pravurtyena mumukshana. Samsiddhi has also another meaning, that Janaka, King Janaka and others, they executed karmam situated in that state of knowledge. They were already in the realized state and they were executing the karmam. So, situated in that state and they executed karmam in that way. They did not give up karmam and run away from there. King Janaka is the best example. And Janaka is a personality who acquired knowledge in 1 second. He acquired self-realization 1 second. We'll discuss that next Tuesday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.